54, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then I'm going to read another verse in the book of Ephesians, and they'll be putting those up on the screen there. Isaiah 54, if you have it, say amen. It's our promise scriptures are in here in these verses, founding scriptures and promise scriptures for Victor Outreach. But it's, I want to look at what it's saying here, and it's the subject that I want to speak about has to do with this scripture here. And I want to speak this morning about the stretching church, amen. And yesterday we heard about the risk-taking church, and you know, I want to even share a little bit about that this morning also from what Pastor Al shared. But in Isaiah 54, if you have it, say amen. Verse 1, the Bible reads like this, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." He's talking to the people of Israel, but he's giving this picture of a woman who's barren and doesn't have a baby. And he's telling her to sing because you're going to have more children than the one who's already born children. But he's telling the people of Israel this. He's giving them a promise. Somebody say, he's giving them a promise. It says, "For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." Tell your neighbor, the stretching church. And then it says this, and then it says, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed." Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you this morning. "Do not fear, for you will not be Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband." Say that with me. Say, "Your maker is your husband." Say it again. Say, "Your maker is your husband." This is what he was telling the people of Israel. He says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning we thank you for your presence, your Holy Spirit, and I pray for these next few moments, Lord, that you would just have your way in this place. As we're here together, we pray that you would just anoint this time, anoint my life to be your mouthpiece, and just continue to have your way, God, and we'll give you all the glory for all that you are going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen and amen. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. I want to talk about the stretching church, the expanding church. And, you know, there's some exciting things taking place. And I want you to know that, you know, this is we're in just September 1st, September, October, November, December. We have still a third of the year left, not a quarter, a third of the year left. So it's actually, we have a good part of the year left. But I want you to know, it's some exciting times. And I kind of feel like what my wife was saying. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek, inside scoop. I kind of feel like that spirit hitting me right now. I want to give you an inside scoop. So anyway, I've been praying, you know, and just asking. And of course, like, I want, these are the things I want you to keep in prayer. But I want you to know, because God's going to do something in your life, not only through these things, but through us, you know, doing these things and through God using us to in everything that's going to be taking place, you know, this as we finish off this 2019, get ready to step into 2020. And first of all, I want to say that, you know, just like we were talking about, we have the preparing pathway to your destiny. Amen. So those are some Sunday night things taking place, and there's going to be some exciting things taking place there. But as we get ready to getting to October, we're going to have another like we did last year. We did like an October revival, but we're going to have a month of October wave month. Amen. That we're going to do in October, and it's going to be a powerful time. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. And then So we're believing God, man, for revival, God to do powerful things, amen. And we're going to be bringing out who are those ones that are going to come and be speaking, amen, those 2 weeks or so that God's just going to move in a powerful way. And then also, I was talking yesterday, I had the opportunity to, I know God puts us in places for a reason, and I was there with our Blajos for a little bit, and we were talking a little bit. We have a friendship. He's been here at our church several times and with his wife, amen, we have a friendship. So we're talking about possibly in November, toward the middle of November or so, to have here not only him speak on a Sunday morning, but to have the drama Blood In, Blood Out as well. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for that as well. And then, you know, even that, and just continuing on and then keeping it going. And we know December, a lot of great things take place. We have our outreaches. And then also, I was able to get a call back from evangelist Roy De La Garza, and he's going to be coming on a Sunday there a couple weeks before Christmas. So it's going to be a great, great time. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap for that, amen. It's going to be a great time, not only, you know, for God's going to do something in your life, but it's not just about that, amen. We don't, it's not, in other words, we don't just come to get fed. How many know God wants us to feed others, amen? And God wants us to feed others. God wants you to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's why he saved you. That's why he rescued you. That's why he called you. Come on, somebody. It does no good if you just receive it for yourself, right? You got to be able to give it to somebody else. And God is putting us in a place to be able to do that as a church. Amen. And so this morning, yesterday, and Friday, we were there, and Pastor Al and Pastor Sonny Jr., they spoke some powerful messages that really, really ministered to all of us that were there. I mean, it was life-changing. It really, truly was. And I feel like it was also because it was a time of refreshing for the leaders, amen. You go to a leadership training, and you know how we do. Sometimes we think you go expecting, you think it's going to be a training, there's going to be classes, but it was the Holy Spirit that had ordained this time, and it was a time also for refreshing for the leaders, amen. A refreshing, and that's what took place. It was a fresh refreshing, just a fresh fire that got stirred up within our lives to begin to take us as we get ready to step into fall, amen. I believe, am I wrong? I don't know. Is Labor Day, is that the end of summer, or is that just the consider it. It's not the official day, right? But it kind of signifies the end of summer. Yeah, well, somebody said it on the radio. They lied then. But it's kind of like, in other words, we're getting ready to step into fall, amen? Getting ready to step into fall. And in fall, you know, how many know that there's, like we were saying, there's a lot of great things taking place. So it's like a refresher, amen, for us getting ready to step into what God wants to do for the rest of this year. And one of the things that Pastor Al talked about, he talked about a risk-taking church, amen. And a little bit about that I want to talk about, because he was talking about the people of Israel. Just sound like this morning, these scriptures that we read are referring to the people of Israel who belong to the Lord and the things that they were going through. And so he talked about how they had started during this time, he read from the book of Haggai, and they had started a project, but they hadn't finished the project, amen. How many know we're not done this morning, amen? They had started the rebuilding of the walls, but somewhere throughout the course of that project taking place, there were some months and even years that it came to a halt. And that's why God raised up a man to begin to go and minister, a prophet, a messenger, amen, to begin to go bring it to the people of God's attention, amen, to bring it to their attention that the work had stopped and that it couldn't stay like that, but there needed to be a rising up of the people of God to build the temple of God, to build the walls of God, and to restore it to what God had called it to be. You could not leave the mission halfway done, amen. You couldn't leave it half finished, amen. Just like us, God has given us a mission, amen. God has given us a job to do, a mission to do, and I mean, we can't leave this mission halfway finished, right? I know sometimes as men, you start projects in the house, you leave it halfway finished. Wife, don't look at your husband. But, you know, you start something, you leave it there, it's not all the way done. 6 months later, oh yeah, I forgot to finish that. Come on, somebody. But I mean, in the kingdom of God, we have to finish what we started. Somebody say amen. And so what happened with the people of Israel, what led to this, was that their hopes and dreams were now found somewhere besides the vision that God had given them. Their hopes and dreams were now where before they were found, their hopes and dreams were in the vision. Their hopes and dreams were in the promise that God had given the people of Israel. And it was their motivation. It was what they were looking forward to. And this is what they hung on to. And this is what drove them. But as they continued on, they began to, all of a sudden, their hopes and dreams were now in their homes. Their hope and dreams were found now in their self or in their own personal projects is where their hopes and dreams were found. And they were found somewhere besides the vision that God had given them. Somebody say amen. So God always sends a messenger. And God sent a messenger. And he sent a messenger to let them know that he wanted God and the vision that God had given them to be the center of their life once again. And God was angry. He was angry at this. When there in the book of Haggai, when you read it later after Isaiah, God was angry because their projects had become their identity. Oh, yeah. I want you to help me this morning. I'm not going to be too long, but I want you to preach back at me. Come on, somebody. Confess a feeling. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Don't get quiet on me this morning. But God was angry with them because their projects became their identity. Where before their identity was who they were in Christ, was who they were and what God had called them to do. But all of a sudden, their identity became their house. Come on, somebody. Their boat, right? Their white picket fence, right? The things they had and becoming like that. What do you got, neighbor, down there, down the street, and making sure they were up to par with the rest of the neighbors? So all of a sudden, their identity became was tied to the projects that they were doing for themselves. And so God was angry. But he said, but God gave him a promise. Tell your neighbor he's a promise keeper. And he said, if you make the vision, God told him, if you make the vision that I have given you your identity, then he told him the nations will come to you. He says, not only will the nations come to you, he said, if you make me and you make the vision and the promise that I've given to you, if you make it your identity, he says, and not only are the nations going to come to you, he says, but you are going to be the envy of them all. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. Ain't nobody that wants to be a blessed Christian anymore. Come on, somebody. And they were there, and he said, man, if you are going to be blessed, you are going to be the envy of all. If you make me the center again, and you make the promise that I've given you and the vision that I've given you the center again, then the nations are going to come to you, and you're going to be the envy of them all. Not because you're bigger, not because you're better or badder, but because I'm your God, and I'm faithful to your life. See, the vision that God gives us, how many know it makes us powerful? Being obedient to God. Obedience, listen, the Bible says, if you obey, there is blessings. If you disobey, there's curses, right? He said, you choose. He says, I put before you blessings and curses. Guess what? God ain't trying to make you guess. God ain't trying to confuse you. This ain't on that show, Let's Make a Deal. Pick one, two, or three, and then we'll see if you're blessed. God don't work like that. See, man, we think God works like that. You know what? God don't work like that. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what God. Let me tell you something. God is not trying to hide his will from you. God is not trying to hide his will from you, put it behind his back, and then have you choose and say, aha, you chose wrong. God don't, see, that's when we don't even know who God is. We don't even, God wants you to know his will. Matter of fact, God has shown you his will. He has revealed to you his will. And so God does that. And so in all of that, he says, if you make that vision, he says, if you make it the center, you know, that is what makes us powerful. Amen? It's not because the talent doesn't make us powerful. Giftings doesn't make us powerful. It's the anointing of God that makes us powerful. And I want you to know this morning, the anointing of God comes upon our life when we are obedient to the mandate that God has given us. You know, God doesn't, listen, let me give you a news flash this morning. God does not just anoint you. Listen, God saves you because he loves you. But I'm going to know that's not the end. You don't just stop there, right? It doesn't stop there. If that's it, if that's all we stop at, then we're missing the whole thing. Salvation is the beginning. That's the most important thing. But then it doesn't stop there. There's more, right? And so God, you know, oh man, I forgot to say. So God, his anointing, it comes upon your life. But, you know, God doesn't anoint you so that people can look at you, Sister Veronica, and say, oh, wow, she is so anointed. Right? No. The anointing comes upon her life because there is something that God called her to do. And when she steps out to do it in obedience to what God has said, the anointing of God then becomes something that God uses to fulfill his purposes. And that's what God does in your life. When you step out, when you're obedient to God, when you say yes to God, even though you might be afraid, even though it might be bring you out of your comfort zone, but when you step out in faith and trust God, there is an anointing that comes upon your life, and God uses people that were not a people. Come on, somebody. God uses people that were not qualified and uses them to do great exploits for His glory and for His honor. God always sends a messenger to let them know. It's a vision that God has given us. Thank God that God gave our founder a vision. The vision gives you favor when you make it first within your life. Come on, somebody. God gives you favor when you're obedient to the mandate that He's given you. You know, and it's so important because in the people of Israel, you know, it began to affect, you know, we have, you know, just so you know, on our website, we have our messages there. And if you missed last week's message, you could hear it as well. It's there. The audio is there. And you could listen to it. And I talked a little bit about the people of Israel and the things they went through and some of the negative things that we could learn from their lives. And it's really good because it helps us. Somebody say amen. But what happened is when the people come, when those people, when they were like that, you know, it began to affect negatively everybody else. See, that's why God gets angry. You see what I'm saying? Because when we begin to affect other people, see, you don't understand what I'm saying. You ain't hearing me, or you're trying to act like you ain't hearing me, but you're hearing me. Come on, somebody. But see, when what we do begins to affect other people, now we're beginning to interfere with God's business. See, you understand what I'm saying? You get me over there? Come on, somebody. All right, praise the Lord. Making sure. So when people, for example, when people come to the house, right? And if people were to come and they were not expecting, or they were asleep, or they were numb like that, or just kind of just, how many know it affects everything? How we come to church, amen, and how we're here. We come early, we come late, you know, we're here, we're focused, we're listening, amen. How many know that's going to affect either positive or negative what takes place within the people of God? Somebody say amen. And likewise, as Christians, when people stop growing spiritually, and the Lord, when people stop growing spiritually, then the Lord is no longer the center of their hopes and dreams. Come on, somebody. Pastor Al talked about moldy bread. Man, I can't give the illustration because he can't, you know, he gave it. I can't give it. I can't remember exactly how he put it, but he talked about moldy bread. That's what happens when you don't keep growing. Amen. So what happens is that person, that Christian, that believer, no longer carries an attractive spirit. In other words, they used to help those in need, and now they become needy themselves. They no longer carry that love for God or that love of their relationship for God, right? And it reflects on their life and how they are, right? They become, in other words, they become just an image of their former greatness. Talk about how those days were better, right? The past was better. I remember when, right? And how many know that God wants to do something new, amen? How many know that God has a future for your life? Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you know that God has a future for your life. This is what he said about that. He talked about a church, and he called it the Undertaking Church, but he said this, it's a church that focuses too much on the past, right? And he talked about how Moses was only allowed to be mourned for 30 days. You all know Moses, right? Does anybody read their word here? Come on, somebody. So Moses was the deliverer. God used Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea. God did miracles. He sent the 7 plagues. Come on, somebody. He used him as a mighty deliverer to do what one man was able to do, amen, to deliver 1 million people out of bondage. And so what happened is when Moses passed away, Israel was only allowed to be mourned. Moses was only allowed to be mourned by Israel for 30 days. And the reason why was this, it was to teach Israel that we value the past, but we don't live there. That we value the past, but we don't live there. Come on, somebody. In other words, what he was saying is that the vision and the mission that God had given him was bigger than personalities. Come on, you ain't hearing me this morning. I know God is bigger than any one person, amen? I know we have a privilege to be used by God. You and I, we have a privilege to be a part of what God wants to do in and through our lives. But if we say no, I know God said, I will raise up stones and to be my children. Come on, somebody. He said, I will raise up a rock to do what you want to do, to do what you're supposed to do if you don't want to do it. You ain't hearing me this morning. People come and go, right? He was saying, but the vision stays the same. You're saying they stalled because they allow the things of the past to become their identity. But the Bible says he was telling them, the promise was telling them, that the glory of the latter temple was going to be greater than the glory of the former temple. He was saying the best is yet to come. If you keep on going, you keep on trusting, you keep on believing, you keep on going forward in the Lord, then God says greater things are going to take place and I'm going to get the glory for it. Pastor Sonny said it like this. He talked about an I remember when type of attitude. He said this, he said, and it's so true. He said, if what you did yesterday seems big, you haven't done much today. I can't get no amens today. Come on, somebody. Don't linger around dead things. Don't linger around dead things. God has something new. God is alive. God's spirit is like a river. God moves. God flows. God doesn't stop. God takes us from glory to glory. And if you keep in step with God, then you're going to be in the middle of it. Praise the Lord. Not being stuck in the past. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Ask me how. Glad you asked. It's to not be afraid to respond to the new challenges of the kingdom. Somebody say amen. See, the challenges, you know, and the moment we don't like them. But did you know that the challenges keep you alive? Man, I thank God sometimes. I thank God sometimes, you know that? I realized that when I heard that, it really ministered to me because I thought, you know what? When I look at my life and I thank God when he allowed certain things to take place or to, you know, man, ruffle me up, right? And to get me out, you know, put some fire under my feet. I realized that sometimes it was those challenges that God used to draw him closer to you. I thank God that he doesn't leave you alone. I thank God that he loves you too much to leave you the same where you're at. But God wants to continue to mold you and shape you. And God is not done with you this morning. God's not done with you. There's greater things that God wants to do. See, the challenges keep you alive. When people of God are more excited about the challenges than their projects and their houses, then what happens is the kingdom of God is expanded. How many want the kingdom of God to be expanded in Pomona? How many want people from Victor Outreach Church Pomona to be sent out to different countries? How many want to see Ralph and Trina get launched out? Come on, somebody. How many want to see people get launched out, take a city, go to a different country, answer the calling of God? How many want to be a part of sending people and making a difference and reaching people for the glory of Almighty God? Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you want to be a part of this great vision. As a matter of fact, ministry challenges make Christianity exciting. Ooh, come on, somebody. When it comes to those people that rub you the wrong way, ooh, come on, somebody. It makes your Christianity exciting. You complain about them, but listen, really, you should be thanking God about them because God is using that person in your life to change you. You think they should change, but guess what? God is trying to get you to change. You ain't hearing me this morning. God is showing you something that it is bothering the heck out of you, but guess what? It's because God is doing a deep work, a new work, a greater work inside of you, and if you will recognize what God is doing, then God is going to change your life. And when it comes, listen, those type of people step up. Somebody say amen. They hadn't reached their God-given goals. And they stopped. But how many know we're a church, not just Sunday? We're to church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We have a vision. We have a promise. We have a mandate. There's souls that are dying out there. God has called you. God has called me. Come on, somebody. Who's going to rise up and take their place and do what God has called them to do? God didn't just save you and rescue you out of that miserable place where you were at to leave you there and not reach nobody. But God reached to that place, that hurting place, that lost place, that hopeless place. God reached you there out of everybody in your family. He reached you. He touched you. He turned you around because God wanted to send you back to other people that were hurting so you could rescue them out of their misery just like God rescued you. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap in this place. God wants to stretch us. Somebody say amen. Stretch means capable of being longer and wider without tearing or breaking. Tell your neighbor it's not going to break you. Ooh, come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor it might hurt, but you're not going to break. You might bend, but you won't break. You ain't hearing me. Husband, look at your wife. Wife, tell your husband. Come on, somebody. You might bend, but you won't break. Huh? It means to expand and enlarge beyond ordinary limits. Anybody here have limits in your life? Right? I'm going to know God wants to break those limits. God wants to break those limits. That's why he stretches us. That's why he allows us to go through different seasons in our lives. Oh, man, God is so good. He's sovereign. You know, I recognize this, man. I don't know, man. Sometimes I've done a few funerals this week, and sometimes I sit and it really, I thank God, you know, because number one, it's when people really want to give their lives to the Lord. And I have a great opportunity to lead people to Christ at those times. But also, it's a great opportunity for me to evaluate my life. It really is. I sit there and I look at my life and I think about my life, and I just thank God. I thank God that there's limits in our life, but God do different things. Like, he just wants to break those limits. He wants to break those limits. He wants to cause us to go further. It's a stretching that is beyond ourselves. Somebody say amen. God wants us to have a bigger vision. God wants you to dream again, my friend. If you stop dreaming, God wants you to dream again, my friend. If you stopped aspiring for God to use your life to do a great ministry, to do a great work, to disciple people, listen, God wants you to dream again. God wants to give you a vision again. Come on, somebody. The stretching church. Pastor Sonny said a quote. He said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. What's the value of stretching? Well, there's a value to stretching. Somebody say amen. If you're 40 years or older, say amen. There's a value to stretching. Hello. Me and Jerry the other day, he was telling me about some stretches I can do in bed. Welcome to the 40 Club. There's a value of stretching, both physically and spiritually. Somebody say amen. And it's obvious. When you stretch, see, tell your neighbor, God wants to stretch you. See, when you stretch, you know, physically, when you look at it physically, when you stretch, you can reach farther. Right? No, none of you stretch. Y'all just get up out of bed and just, I don't need a stretch. I'm limber. No, when you stretch, like if you could reach this far and you stretch a little bit, you could reach farther. You stretch a little bit, you could bend down all the way, touch your toes. You could stretch, you know, you do lunges. I'm not going to do lunges here for you because I don't want to make you feel tired. But you stretch, you could reach farther. But when God stretches you, you ain't hearing me this morning. See, you ain't hearing what I'm saying. When God stretches you, it's because God wants you to reach farther than you've been reaching. He's able to impact more than what you've been impacting. See, you've impacted this far, but God wants you to impact that far. You've been limiting yourself, but God don't limit you. You've been saying, I can only do so much, but God says, you don't understand how much potential I put inside of you. And if you will let me draw the potential out of your life, then you will be able to reach farther than you ever would have thought or even imagine. Sometimes even the most difficult, heartbreaking, man, things in life that you go through that, man, I know I feel for you, and I, you know, I don't take lightly. I know we go through things and life hits us, but did you know that sometimes God is allowing those things to stretch you, to grow you, to do something in you? Because we look at things here, man, but God's priority is different. God's priority is eternity. We're just passing through here. God's not getting you ready for where you're going to live next. God is getting you ready for eternity. God is not getting ready for what you're going to go through next week at work. God is getting you ready for the people that you're going to reach in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years that are going to go to the end of the kingdom of God because you let God stretch you. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap in this place. You know what else stretching does? What other benefit it has is that it keeps injuries to a minimum. Right? Again, physically, of course, right? Athletes stretch so they don't get what? They don't get hurt, right, Andrew? They go, you know, football player Ezekiel Elliott, he's not playing right now. He's probably going to play all year. I don't know what's up with that. But if he don't stretch, he's going to pull a hamstring. Ezekiel Elliott, he probably has a stretch for like those guys that they do, they're in the NFL, they play at the highest level. You know, they got to stretch for a long time. You think you got to stretch for a long time because you're 50 years old. Them guys, they got to stretch. They got people stretching them. They do stretches they can't even do on their own. They got people stretching them. What I'm saying is because they're going to play at such a high level that they need to get stretched because it's going to keep their injuries to a minimum. And if you don't let God stretch you, see, you ain't hearing me this morning. If you don't let God stretch you, little things are going to hurt you. You ain't hearing me today. See, little things are going to sidetrack you. Little things are going to sideline you. Little things are going to make you want to give up and throw in the towel and not want to do it anymore. If you don't let God stretch you, then you're not going to be able to go all the way in Christ and do everything that God has called you to do. You're going to get injured too quick. You're going to be all gung-ho, man. You're going to come suited up, and you're going to come with your running shoes, your spiritual running shoes, and your headband, and then 2 weeks later, you're going to be on the sideline. I'm hurt, coach. Somebody hurt me. I guess that doesn't happen here. Maybe that just happens down the street at the other church. If you don't let God stretch you, you get hurt too easy. Nobody here ever been hurt. Then what were we talking about the other day? Oh, but if you let God stretch you. Woo, come on, somebody. If you've got stretched a little bit, and then something comes and tries to, how many know you're like, yeah, that hurt, but I've been already being stretched. It ain't going to stop me because I've already been through some things, and God was faithful to my life. I've been through some big things. I've been let down. I've been betrayed. I've been left alone. Come on, you ain't hearing me this morning. People have done let me down, but it's all right because God was still faithful. God kept me through. That means when I face bigger things that are up ahead of me, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up because I know if God was faithful to me now, then God will be faithful to me then. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that in this place. And with little pain of stretching, you could avoid suffering big pain. Come on. So the goal of stretching is clear, right? The goal of stretching is clear, but the desire to stretch is hard to maintain. When Jesus first called Peter to follow him, the big fisherman got excited. Right? Right? When Jesus first called Peter, man, he was excited. He was ready. He liked what he saw. But he didn't always understand what he heard. Somebody say amen. He learned new truth and he tried to walk his best to walk in it. And some days Peter did great and other days he failed miserably. Somebody say amen. And he got frustrated, and he got discouraged. Just like you and I, we get frustrated, and we get discouraged. But through it all, he was being stretched. I said he was being stretched. And because he was being stretched, then he was also being changed. And because he was being changed, even though he went through a tough season and even denied the Lord, but yet when the day of Pentecost came, he grabbed the mic and preached, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap in this place if you know your stretching is going to lead you to greatness. He matured. He strengthened. But it wasn't easy. Somebody say amen. When you, God wants to stretch us, man. Right? And when you begin to experience an expansion, like in your midst, like in our ministry right now, how many know there is an expansion taking place in our ministry? They're the third wave, come on somebody, the third wave, the revival, come on, that new, that great harvest that God is getting ready, the great thing that God is getting ready to do in this world, the souls that are going to come into the kingdom of God. And there's an expansion like that in your midst. When you look around and there's a thriving and there's an enlarging happening like there is in our ministry all around the world. Thank God for that. Thank God for what our leaders see. I thank God for what our founders see. I thank God for what God shows us. I thank God that God gives us promises and He gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank God that we walk by faith and not by sight. I thank God that when God gives me promises, even at times when I look around and I don't see it, there is still a peace upon my life and the power of God upon my life in such a way that I feel God is just saying, just keep on going, keep on trusting, because surely it is going to come to pass and you're going to see it with your own eyes. See, that's what God does. I thank God for our leaders. Like Pastor Allen, when he was talking about it, he senses it and he feels it. Even churches that have 100, 200, and 200 plus, he said, man, even in those churches, he said he feels like there is something great that is going to be taking place, man. Something powerful that is going to be taking place. God wants you to see your life, not just where you're at. He wants you to see your life and its future, its potential, where it can be, where it's going, where are you going, where is God taking you? Has He been reminding you lately? Has He been stirring it up inside of you lately? Have you been getting into His Word and letting Him speak into your life? Have you been getting into prayer or just spending time alone with God and letting Him speak to you? Has He been speaking good things? Because if you've been hearing negativity or condemnation, maybe that wasn't God. Maybe that was the devil. Come on, somebody. But how many know when you get close to God and you seek God and you draw near to God, the Bible says He draws near to you. And how many know if there's anybody that's rooting for you, if there's anybody that's in your sideline cheering you on, it's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Father God, that hasn't given up on you. Even when you give up on yourself and other people give up on you, I want you to know that God is still rooting for you. He still believes in you. That's why He hasn't given up on you, because God is still going to use your life. He wants you to see your life, not just where you're at, but where you're going. See, God has plans to bless you in all areas of your life. Not just where, you know, physically you have things, but then, you know, spiritually or your morale is all down and life is miserable. No, God wants to give you the joy of the Lord. He wants to give you joy. He wants to prosper you. Not more than just things, man. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be a blessing to others. He wants to pour an oil on you. He wants to pour an anointing on you. He wants people to come to your house and get healed because the power of God and the anointing of God has been poured over that house by God. God was reminding His people that He was not only going to revive them, but He was going to bring them to a place of power and prosperity. Why? Why was He going to do that? Why was He telling them that He was going to bring them to a place of power and prosperity? Let me tell you why. Because it was important for His purposes. It was important for what He wanted to do. Just like this morning, God, I don't talk about just numbers and saying wanting to have more people here just because it's the thing to do and I want to be better than this church or better than that. It's not even about that, man. It is about the fact that there are hurting people that are out there. God wants to do, I don't believe God just wanted us to reach this many people. I believe there's more people that are hurting. I believe God placed this church here in the center of Pomona, not just to reach 100 people, 200 people, but 500 people, 600 people, 700 people. I believe God called us to be a lighthouse that whosoever comes into this place will experience the power of God and never be the same again. Come on, if you believe that, you got to give the Lord some glory in this place. There was a reason why He wanted to anoint them. There was a reason why He wanted to prosper them. Because in order for us to do what God wants us to do, how many know he has to? He's going to prosper us. He's going to bless us. He's going to give you things, not so that you can sit there and think you're all bad and think you've got things. No, he gives you things because he wants you to reach people with those things. Jabez asked God to bless him and enlarge his territory, but it wasn't a selfish prayer. I know you've heard some people praying, you know, oh, God, but I'm in the home. I don't know. In the home, I was in the home 2.5 years, so you ain't got to tell me. You're preaching to the choir over here. Well, you know, you have people, you know, and oh, God bless me, and oh, Lord, bless me with this, bless me with that. And you know what? But there's nothing wrong. You know, one thing that Jabez, when he was asking God to bless him and to enlarge his territory, it wasn't a selfish prayer. Because as a matter of fact, the Bible says that he was more honorable than his brothers. So that would not even be true. But the reason why God was going to bless him is because the reason why Jabez wanted to be blessed, to be prospered, was because he knew that God's kingdom wasn't supposed to stay that big. It was supposed to be enlarged. It was supposed to be grown. He knew that, man, I want you to give me more because I know that I want to do more for you. You ain't hearing me this morning. See, God wants to bless you because if in your heart you want to do more for God, then God wants to bless your life. I want the keyboard to go ahead and come up. God doesn't just want to bless you just so that you could look and say how blessed I am. Remember that day God was mad because their identity was caught up in what they had and their personal projects. Do you know that that happens to Christians? Let me. You know that that happens to Christians? God calls us. You know when God called you? When you were in that place, broken before the Lord, God didn't say, you know, Jerry, I'm going to touch you because I want to give you, I'm going to give you a house. And I'm going to, those things are good, right? Thank God you have a house, Pastor Jerry. Your daughters are grateful. But it was more than that. It wasn't just that I'm going to give you this, that, and the other. But did you know that God, when he saves us, he's like, you begin to sense that there's something that he wants you to do for him. And then you go to God and you're like, God, I don't know what it is, but whatever you want me to do, I want to do it for you. I want to make a difference. I realize now that it's not about me. I realize now when God saves you and he does it working, you realize, man, God, I know it's not about me anymore. It's about others. It doesn't even matter, God, if I don't have this or if I don't have that. I just want to be used by you. Just like you touched my life and my wife, my husband, my children. I want to see that happen in other people. I want to see it take place. But then what happens is Christians, and all of a sudden it's like somehow that wears off and their identity is not in that no more. But God called you to be that. God called you above all to be a deliverer. We're not going to take any of the things from this world home with us. We're just passing through. We're going to leave all those things here. The only things we're going to take with us is what we do for God. And so then people, what happens is they lose focus of that. And then all of a sudden, their identity is, and that's good. I get so blessed when man, we got homeowners in the house. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap for that. We got homeowners, man, careers, business owners. We got a doctor over there. Come on, somebody, when I'm hurt, I could call him. And Jesus, and he helps me and all that stuff. Man, God is blessed, and I get so blessed. I get so blessed when I see that, and I see God's been faithful to them. God has provided for them. But did you know that that doesn't mean that, you know, that's not what says that you've arrived? It's not, you know, that's not your identity. You're more than that. It's bigger than that. That's good, but what would I do if I would say, okay, well, then once I get this house, then I'm going to know, like, God had fulfilled his promise, and I will have made it. And then what if I get that house, and then I'm just like, okay, that's it. I did it. I'm done. Right? Like, that's not it. There's more to it than that. There's bigger than your identity. Is God is going to bless you. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be anointed. God is going to use you. God is going to separate you. God is going to raise you up. And God is going to give you things. But there's going to be something greater that he gives you that has more value than any material thing that you can ever have. And that is his peace. That is his presence. That is his anointing. That is his calling upon your life for you to be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. There's a shift that takes place. Somebody say amen. You go through it. But God, it's telling you, I'm doing a new thing. As a matter of fact, God is going to open doors for you that you never even dreamed possible. Somebody say amen. I have good news for you this morning. Barrenness is not a permanent condition. If you've tried and tried and you haven't seen, man, and you felt like you've been growing weary and well-doing, I want you to know this morning, the devil's a liar. Don't you dare grow weary and well-doing, because God says that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he is going to reap. And I want you to know that if you keep on keeping on, then your due season is coming, and God is going to bless you. God is going to be faithful to you. God is going to bless you with things that you didn't even deserve. He's going to give you raises that other people should have got. You ain't hearing me this morning, because I want you to know that barrenness is not a permanent condition. God is in the business of breaking barrenness. He creates things. God grows things. God changes things. God speaks to those things that are not as if though they were. I want you to stand with me this morning. We see those words enlarge and stretch. He tells them you will spread out to the left and to the right. Because of what the Lord has done in your life, because who you are to God. So don't look at what you are now, but see the change. A barren woman was considered fruitless and a failure. But the Lord had been telling them different. He had been telling them, it doesn't matter what your condition is presently. Somebody needs to hear this morning. He was telling them, I want you to sing. I want you to praise. He was telling them, it doesn't matter what your condition is presently. He was telling them, because a new season is coming your way. I said a new season is coming your way. He's saying, you who had no hopes, who your lives were shattered, whose eyes were swollen with tears because you've been waiting to see the promises of God in your family, he's saying, rejoice, because a new season is coming. He's saying, Remember the promise. God told Abraham, I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Right? He told Abraham, I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. And guess what? God did what he promised to Abraham. He stepped out, not knowing where he was going. He told him, Abraham, I want you to come out with me. You're out here in the middle of nowhere. You're like, God, why am I here? You ever been there? He's saying, Lord, I don't even know why I'm here. He said, Abraham, I know why you're here. Come out. Let me show you something. He said, You see the stars up there in the sky? He said, I'm going to make your descendants more numerable than those. He said, take a good look on this beautiful night at those millions of stars. He says, I'm going to make your descendants greater than them. You know what? Abraham believed the Lord, right? You know what the key is? I'll tell you what the key is this morning. For every single one of us in this place, this is the key. Is that when you're in that season, when it's hard and it doesn't look like it, this is the difference. This is the difference maker. This is what breaks you through into those breakthroughs of other dimensions, or sometimes keeps us around in circles. Is that when you go through those difficult times and those hard seasons, the key is that you don't hold back. That you don't hold back. That you let God stretch you and you keep on keeping on and you keep on going forward. And when God sees that type of faith, he honors it so beautifully and he blesses you, because when God or the devil looks at that and he says, man, there's no reason why this man should be blessing God right now. I don't understand it. The devil gets frustrated. He gets angry. He says, man, I don't understand why this sister is still, she has no reason to keep on serving God. Yet she's still serving him and still praising him and still loving him and still honoring him. Even people might tell you, why are you still doing that? Just give up. Just throw in the towel. But she keeps on serving God. He keeps on trusting God. And that's when God is able to look at the devil and say, yeah, that's right, baby. That's because that's my boy and that's my girl. Even when they don't have a reason, even when I haven't blessed them, they're still not giving up on me. And guess what comes next? The favor. The breakthrough, the next dimension, what you've been waiting for, what's been waiting for you around the corner for a long time. But if in your tough season, I want you to know this morning, if you will not hold back and you will continue to give God your best, I want you to know that what comes next is the promise of God is going to be fulfilled inside of your life. And not only for you, but your family, your children, your children's children. You don't realize how important you are this morning. You are more important than your life right now. You are more important than your life right now. You are more important than your next 10 years. You are so important this morning. You matter for generations and generations and generations to come. And the sooner you realize that, you will realize, man, I am not going to give up. I am not going to quit, because this thing is bigger than me. I want to see my children praising the Lord. I want to see my grandchildren praising God. I want to see my great-grandchildren. And when I'm dead, then from heaven, I'm going to see my great, great, great grandchildren serving God, because they had a dad that didn't give up. They had a mom who didn't give up. When the times got tough, they kept on keeping on. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. This morning, I'm going to make an altar call. And I want to make an altar call. And like I said last week, listen, I don't want a lot of moving around during the altar call. I mean, I want you to come. But excess stuff, okay? I want us to be reverent to the Lord. Even after service, wait till we finish. I don't want a lot of moving around. It's in these times when God is doing something special. God is speaking to people right now. There could be some people in this place right now that want to give up. And we don't need nobody messing up or quenching the atmosphere. We need to let God have his way in this place. So if he wants to heal somebody, he could heal somebody. If he wants to strengthen somebody, he can strengthen somebody. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about this morning? So I'm going to open up these altars. Whoever, however God ministered to you, however it is, I want you to just come. Just for a few moments, I want you to come and talk to God. Come on, I'm going to pray for you.